Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. One of the busier sports days that we've had in a long, long time. Two huge, huge sports angles that have transpired here in the last few hours. And thanks for being with us. We're going to go a lot of different directions today. It's the beauty of doing this is there are shows that you have planned and guests you have planned, and you have to call people and say, no, we're not going to do you today. It's not appropriate, or it's time to do things elsewhere because there's a lot of stuff breaking. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Paul Coro, Suns insider for AZ Central Sports, is going to join us in about 10 minutes. The last time a player said, I want out of Phoenix, you have to go a long, long ways back, in my opinion, that was a star type of player. To go far back. And Goran Dragic last night, through his agents, actually Bill Duffy, the agent that told the Suns, Goran doesn't want to be here anymore. So I want to talk to Paul about that and the far-reaching implications, in my opinion. I've not been happy with the Suns here in the last week to 2 weeks. There's been none of this good ship lollipop stuff about how great it was last year. You could see the cracks, I'd say, probably around mid-January. And so now you have, he's not the face of the franchise. The Suns, that's been one of the problems. They don't have a face of the franchise. He's not a superstar player. But last year, he was third-team All-NBA. Okay? Third-team All-NBA. One of the nicest guys you'd ever want to come across. And he didn't want to be here. So we got to talk about that with Paul Coro in a few minutes. And then earlier this morning, NFL, I would say Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter were one and one. I don't care who tweets 2 seconds before the other, but Larry Fitzgerald is going to stay with the Cardinals. So the Cardinals and Larry Fitzgerald have worked out terms of a new deal. You're going to hear from Steve Keim from the Combine on that coming up later in the show as well. Eric is in Indianapolis, en route to Indianapolis, I should say. And he'll be there thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. And he'll have plenty of content on this story, on things around the Combine, all the ASU players, the local angles, Andres Pete and Brett Hundley. Pete's going to be a first-round pick, went to Corona del Sol High School. That's what we do, local, 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 local. Jared Cohen is in today in Eric's space. I'm going to talk to him in a second here about some stuff, too, that he's familiar with Goran. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. We've actually had snow this year. You know, last year they didn't have much snow in the White Mountains, nearly as much as they needed last year. It was tough. This year they've got snow and the Sunrise Ski Resort is happening. And the Honda Resort and Casino, that's the happening place to stay. When you make your plans to go skiing and snowboarding and enjoy the outdoors and sledding and all that with the family or just you and your buds, you and your wife, whatever. The Honda Resort and Casino, that is the place to stay. It is just outside of Pine Top. You can stay at their nice rooms, eat some great food, pull down on the slots. They have entertainment. Head over to Sunrise, get all your ski stuff done there at the Honda Resort and Casino at the ski shop. Enjoy the day, enjoy the night, enjoy the weekend. Shoot, it's middle of the week. Start planning now. Sunrise Ski Resort and the Honda Resort and Casino, that's a winning combination. The Honda Resort and Casino, end of a busy day on the slopes. Kick back in the lounge, enjoy the entertainment, have some food, some drinks, have some fun, pull down on the slots and do it all at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Paul Coro in about 10 minutes. So the Suns have practice later this morning at 11 a.m. And Goran Dragic is going to have to stand in front of cameras and do something that he's completely ill-equipped to do, in my opinion. And that is explain why he doesn't want to be in Phoenix anymore. Is he going to go out the back door or the Suns going to make him unavailable? Goran Dragic, third-team All-NBA a year ago, through his agent last night, telling the Phoenix Suns, that he will not stay here. He will not want to be a part of this team. He does not plan to re-sign in the desert this summer. The problem here is the NBA trade deadline is tomorrow. So less than 48 hours before the deadline, Dragic's camp dumps the bomb on the Suns. This is, there's no way you can spin that this is positive news for the Suns. This is as big a setback as they've had with hiring guys that had no idea, like Lance Blanks and Lindsey Hunter. That's how big a setback this is to the entire face of the franchise with the organization. So in his camp, as I look at what the Suns have to do here, to me, Bill Duffy, after he informed the Suns that he's going to sign elsewhere, the Suns have to find some willing trade partner, obviously, by tomorrow at 1 o'clock Arizona time, 3 o'clock East Coast time. Then B, they've got to try to get something, and they're not going to get anything but breadcrumbs because every other team knows now the Suns' hand. They're not going to be able to re-sign him, so we're better off giving you a bag of rocks and getting nothing. I can't see any way, any shape, any form that Ryan McDonough is going to be able to pull off an impactful trade. The Suns are the ones that are against the wall. The Suns are ones that are on the eight ball here. We'll go through some of the destinations as the show moves on. Paul Corr in about 8-10 minutes. Jared Cohen covers the Suns for us quite a bit. He gets down to a lot of the games. I'm there occasionally. I've dealt with Dragic enough through the years, though, that I know that this is not a space. I can't imagine that he is going to be comfortable at all here later this morning. But from your perspective, because you've covered him, are you surprised that his camp would say he doesn't want to be here in Phoenix anymore? Get me out of here.
Very surprised. That was one of the last things I saw happening over this entire process, this entire ordeal, was the notion that he did not want to be back, and here's a list of teams I wanted to be traded to. That's just, Gorn, like you said, he's one of the nicest people you'll deal with in the sports industry. One of the nicest guys that you'll come across.
Five. Jared, top five, for I'd me, say, of nice guys for through
me,
the years.
For me, I think top five doesn't even do it justice. Him and Ian Kennedy stand out to me as the two just nicest, most pleasant people to deal with when you go down and cover professional athletes. Those two stand out hands down. I did not see him coming out and saying, I don't want to be here. He has a great affinity for the fans here. He supposedly has a great relationship with Jeff Hornacek, and I don't know about the front office, but definitely with Coach Hornacek. And he's clearly very unpleased with how things have transpired. And there's been games that I've watched this season, whether it was in person or on television, where he's sitting on the bench in the last, I don't know, 5-8 minutes of a game watching other players on the floor, and everyone's kind of like, why isn't Dragic in the game? And then there's other times where he's not even touching the ball when he's in the game down in the closing stretch of some games. And you look at the Suns' record going into the All-Star break, I believe they were 2-9 in games decided by 3 points or less.
Yeah.
And he's the guy not touching the ball at the end of the game, where last year they were winning those games. Okay, I think there's a direct correlation.
And I agree with you on that, and we'll talk to Paul about it, but I can't imagine. There's two big stories today. The Dragic one is, to me, Fitz re-signing. If it's Fitz re-signing 6 years ago, I probably am a little bit more excited about it. Obviously, Larry Fitzgerald still has gas left in the tank. But when the news came out this morning that he re-signed, it wasn't like a huge sigh of relief, because you look at the organization and say, there's going to come a point in time and receivers start to slow down and injuries happen. And this is a long-term business move by the Cardinals as well. This is a very smart move on their part. He's not going to kill him out on the field, but he's nowhere near the Larry Fitzgerald that he was 6-7 years ago, in my opinion. So the two stories, I mean, the Suns are now going to be thrown back into the hole. There's no question. They have not proven to me. They made some nice deals on the surface, okay? When they acquired Miles Plumlee and Gerald Green, when you looked at that deal a year ago, it's like, oh my gosh, Ryan McDonough and the Suns are killing it. You look at that deal a year later, they can't get Miles Plumlee and Gerald Green out of here fast enough, and Gerald Green's contract expires. And Miles Plumlee's done nothing really this year. So has that been a good deal? You know, the Isaiah Thomas, having Bledsoe resign and Thomas coming here, if you're Goran Dragic, put yourself in Dragic's shoes. If you're Goran Dragic, it's like, hey, you guys wanted me here. In fact, the owner is the one that brokered this deal. If people remember correctly their son's history, Robert Sarver is the one that brokered this return of Goran Dragic. And so you guys bring me back here, and then you go give Eric Bledsoe all this, and you fall all over yourselves to keep him, and then you go get this guy Isaiah Thomas, and like Jared pointed out, playing time towards the end of the game. It's like, what are you guys thinking? What are you guys doing? And beyond that, the message that this is going to send to players around the league is, again, what's Phoenix doing? Bill Duffy's been around a long time. That's a reputable agent. And you're always going to have a player that will go to the highest bidder, okay? So for the Suns to attract a marquee free agent, you may go get that guy who is at that level. There's not many of them. You're not going to get Kevin Durant. He's probably going to Washington. But the next one that comes up, you haven't been able to really sustain anything here. And now you have a player that's as nice as the day is long, as popular as the day is long. He's not as popular as Larry Fitzgerald. I think the bigger story today impacting the team presently is Dragic. It is. Less players on the floor in the NBA versus the NFL. That's obvious. Fitz on the backside, not the front side of his career. That's obvious. To me, the Dragic news is like, wow, talk about a blow between the solar plexus. And this just came out of left field. It's one thing if you're going to try to hang on and sign him. I mean, it's another. The Suns are going to say, well, we hope that we can work something out. If they don't trade him tomorrow, they're going to have nothing this summer, or they think, you know, that was just saber-rattling by the agent. And that happens occasionally. Fitzgerald's re-signing, I don't think fans would have gone over the cliff if he didn't come back here. There's too many other popular faces, and that's just the business of the NFL. It's not like Adrian Wilson at the end of his career, where it was just time for Adrian to go. Please, Larry, stay. I'm not bagging on him. But this is not like the big earth-shattering deal as some are going to try to portray it to be. It's nice news. Of the two today, I'm really concerned now about the Suns being in the ditch for 6-7 years. I thought they were trying to get out of this mess. This isn't Gerald Green that you're just going to dish off, and that's that. So much more on the Bledsoe stuff here, or Dragic stuff here shortly. In terms of Kime, so here is Steve Kime a short time ago at the NFL scouting combine in Indianapolis, meeting with the media on the Fitz contract, and I'll give you some of the details. This is Steve Kime a short time ago.
No, there's some additional tough decisions that we're going to have to make, but it does give us the room, at least from our projections, that we'll be able to be pretty active in free agency and address some of those needs that, you know, we've talked about, trying to get more athletic on defense, particularly at both inside and outside linebacker spots, trying to get a little more aggressive and more physical inside on the interior of our offensive line.
Okay, so trying to get bigger on the inside of the offensive line. You start looking at Lyle Sendline, you look at the guards, and you look at the numbers. Linebacker, that's been no surprise. The Darrell Washington situation's not cleared up. The Fitz contract, according to Ian Rapoport, guarantees $11 million per year over the next two seasons. He'll be 34 when it's up. So $11 million per year for 2015 and 2016. It saves the Cardinals about $13 million in cap space for the year. So, and look, you can make the numbers look great in present day. I have to believe, here's the thing, on the back end of this, Larry, when you're done playing and we put you in the Ring of Honor and you go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame and we give you a nice fancy title and you go represent us out in the community or you go represent us nationally or globally, that's one of Fitz's deals. If you decide to go into broadcasting, whatever the deal is, it'll be like Kurt Warner. You have to keep this guy in your uniform post-retirement. That's smart business, okay? It's kind of like this. Derek Hall went above and beyond, in my opinion, to work on Randy Johnson to make sure that he's going into the Hall of Fame as an Arizona Diamondback. That is something when you go to corporate sponsors and you talk about your history and heritage of your franchise, you can point to, we have a Hall of Famer wearing our brand. That brand carries a lot of weight. Same thing with Larry Fitzgerald. You know, it's just smart business. So to me, the football side of it, if he gives you a drop in the next couple of years, fine. I don't have an expectation that Larry Fitzgerald's ever again going to be a top 10 wide receiver statistically. He would argue with me about that, and I would hope he would. but it's just a smart business move. Here is more Steve Keim on the relationship with Michael Bidwell and how that was a big help.
It's just really important to Larry to remain a Cardinal. I know he feels like it's a special place. He has a tremendous relationship with Michael Bidwell, our president and owner. So that really helped as well, to be able to have those two sit down and talk things out. And we knew all along that Larry wanted to stay a Cardinal. We just had to find that balance where both sides were happy.
So a few things, whenever the Cardinals hold a press conference and it's Steve Keim or it's Bruce Arians or it's Rod Graves or it's Ken Whisenhunt or it's Denny Green or, and you just go through the years, two things usually are mentioned. You have to give the Bidwells a lot of credit and University of Phoenix Stadium. It's kind of like those are the two talking points over and over and over and over and over and over. Not being critical, it's just it's pretty well ingrained in them that I better mention the Bidwells and I better mention University of Phoenix Stadium because those are the two things that are going to keep me employed for a long, long time. We're going to hear from Steve Keim a little bit later in the show on Carson Palmer's progress. And also, the Cardinals looking at a quarterback in this year's draft. I said last year that they should be considering that strongly during the regular season and that they're going to look at that direction. Also, Steve Keim's view on the most important aspect of the combine, and I really like what he had to say here, and the future of Darnell Dockett. That's in about 10 minutes. Up next, we bounce back over to the Suns and Goran Dragic's people telling the Suns he doesn't want to be here. Paul Coro, AZ Central Sports. He joins me next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
I threw out on Twitter about a half hour ago, bigger story to you, Dragic pinning the Suns up against a wall over a barrel, whatever term you want to use, or Fitz resigning. Right now, I'd say it's about 60-40 Dragic. Just the magnitude of the deal of somebody telling the Suns, he's not a superstar player, in my opinion. He was third-team All-NBA last year. This isn't demeaning Goran Dragic. He's a very good player. He's one of the nicest guys. He could be the maitre d' at the nicest resort, nicest hotel, nicest dining establishment. He'd wait on you hand and foot. He'd shine your shoes if he was the shoe-shine guy at the airport and be perfectly content doing all of it. Okay. This story to me, if Fitz resigning is fine. It's fine. It's one of those stories that you expected it to happen. I'm pleased that he is going to be back. It's not like I ever thought that he was not going to be here. But Dragic, and we'll talk to Paul Kaur here in a second. If no trade materializes, if the Suns say we can't get a deal done, Goran would head to free agency this summer looking for a four-year max deal from the likes of the Lakers and Knicks. Okay, you have to ask yourself realistically, is Goran Dragic a max player? Okay, the Miami Heat are one that is reportedly looking at them. Indiana Pacers last summer, the Boston Celtics here late. But you really have to ask yourself this question if you're the Suns, is Goran Dragic truly a max player? And now you're not in a position to really say, okay, Goran, we don't consider you a max player, so this summer, forget about it. The Suns are over a barrel. You know, the Cardinals re-signing Fitz, I'm not surprised by that. The bigger story to me today, and a lot of you on Twitter, is Dragic telling the Suns, get lost, essentially. Here's Paul Coro, AZ Central Sports, Suns insider. It sounds like you're, what are you in your car? Is this your alarm to go do something else? What is this?
Sorry about that. We're good now.
All right, that's fine. It's fine. Is that your Goran Dragic alert like Robert Sarver got? Okay, so let's back up on this. Bill Duffy is somebody that we've known through the years. I don't know your relationship with Bill Duffy, the agent for Goran Dragic. Are you surprised the agent would go down this path? And is he truly speaking for Goran, or is this the agent being heavy-handed? Let's just start there.
Well, we all know Goran Dragic is a nice guy, and he probably needs a bad guy in his life. He needs probably somebody to wear the dark hat. And we'll find out a little bit more today. The Suns resume practicing today, and Goran Dragic is going to have to speak for himself, and we'll see how firm he holds to it. But there's nothing I have that would indicate that this isn't true. I mean, it's pretty direct in the sourcing, and also just on my own eyeball test and my ear test over the past few months, and especially the past couple of weeks, it's clear that Dragic has not been happy with his role. And, you know, it's gone on since last season, and a lot of people will point out, well, it worked. He had a great year. He was all NBA, but he didn't play half the year with Bledsoe. He got to run the team for about half the season, and by the time Bledsoe came back, they were on the same page, you know, for a playoff chase. And, this has been different. You know, the difference is that it happened two straight years in his eyes. They mm-hmm. brought in Bledsoe, and then they brought in Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so are you surprised? When this broke last night, were you surprised?
I'm surprised to the degree that they're putting their foot down on it. Yeah, but you know, when you really sit down and think about it, the trade deadline's Thursday. They must be having some internal strife with the Suns to be going public with it.
Mm-hmm.
If this was all congenial, then they would be trying to keep this behind closed doors and look for something. But to go this route suggests that they're trying to force their hand a little bit. And frankly, it puts the Suns in a bad spot.
Oh, there's no question, Paul. They're over a barrel today.
Yeah, there's no. They were already going to get pennies on the dollar for Goran Dragic.
Yeah,
he was basically on an expiring contract. You're getting 2 months of Dragic, unless there's a wink, wink handshake that you're going to re-sign him for X amount, which you know is very likely in this league to happen. But still, that's no assurance to either side that it actually will come July. There's lots of things that could unfold.
Talking with Paul Corways, the Central Sports Suns insider. He's at the arena, 11 a.m. They practice today. Okay, I'm going to try to go at this from the Suns' point of view. They're sitting across from Bill Duffy. Bill Duffy says, our guy's a max contract player. And the Suns would say, no, he's not a max contract player. And Bill Duffy would say, well, then we're out of here. Do you believe where this started, where it headed last night?
No, I really don't think it's about that, and I don't even think Dragic would demand max money, and I don't think he could get it.
Yeah, I don't either.
He's not that kind of player. I don't even want to say great. That's going a little far. Last season he had a great season.
Yep. Yep.
And it might be the best season he ever has in his career. He's 28 years old. He's going to be 29, I think, in May. So you're talking about the next deal taking him well into his 30s, he's going to be a different player in 3-4 years from now. He's not going to be at the prime of his career. So you have to be careful on what you give him. I think this is much more about role and happiness with Dragic. He's a very loyal guy. I mean, this organization dumped him for nothing when they traded him to Houston, and he still came back.
Yep.
And it was a bad team when he came back. And he endured an awful season. to get to where he is. And he loves Phoenix. He's very close to the training staff. You know, he realizes what the organization has done for him, but I think, you know, the word I keep hearing is that he's lost trust in them because basically they brought in, it's sort of like what happened to Isaiah Thomas in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Every year they brought in somebody to be the point guard instead of him, and he eventually wanted out. It's funny how it's almost the same thing.
How do you think Robert Sarver is going to handle this? Because we heard the story that Robert is the one that brokered the deal to bring Goran back here, right? And
yeah.
And so Robert is looking at Ryan McDonough and Lon Babby and saying, what? Is he saying, okay, guys, I totally agree with you. I get why we went out and did this. Or could he be saying, what are you guys doing here?
Yeah, well, he becomes very hands-on in these situations.
Yes,
you
he
know,
does.
And from what I gather, he was the one that had the meeting with the agent last night.
Okay. All right.
Goran Dragic is a personal thing with him. You know, it goes back. This guy, you know, the Suns went out and found a deal to draft him in the second round. They were, let's even go back that far. They were ready to draft him in the first round that night if Robin Lopez wasn't available. This unknown out of Slovenia. So, and he brought him back, like you said, you know, right under, while Lance Blinks was trying to get Raymond Felton upstairs, he was in the garage signing Goran Dragic. Thank goodness for the organization that he did. For all of Sarver's faults, that was a brilliant move. So I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes very hands-on in this situation. I don't, you know, it sounds irrevocable from the Dragic side, but I wouldn't. There's been several cases in the past where things have gone sour in a negotiation type situation with the Suns, where Sarver stepped in at the end and got Grant Hill to come back, or got Channing Frye to resign, or, you know, those sorts of things have happened over the years. So maybe he gives it another whirl, but the problem is this has gone so far down the road that even if they try to make it more appealing to Dragic by finding a deal for Isaiah Thomas, which is easier said than done, he still wouldn't resign.
Paul, it just hit me as you're talking about this. Do you think that agents look at the Phoenix Suns? Because let's go back to Bledsoe last summer. That ended up going back and forth and back and forth. And then Isaiah Thomas isn't happy, and we're hearing about that, and that the agent was able to work a way to have Isaiah Thomas get a deal with the Suns. And now Dragic's agent. Do agents respect the front office capabilities of the Phoenix Suns, or is this just landing spot? Because to have a kid like this say, I don't want any part of this, tells me it's got to be something upstairs. Got to be.
Yeah.
Do you know where I'm coming at? Do you know where I'm coming at on this?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, maybe some of this is the odd makeup of their front office, you know, that they have a general manager, but they have a president over him. They have an owner who does negotiations. You know, sometimes it's unclear who the point person is, depending on the agent. But, you know, Duffy has a long history with the organization. He was Steve Nash's agent.
That's right.
And there was a lot of deals brokered during the Nash era, basically with Duffy players, to kind of facilitate, you know, Nash's team. And so they go back a ways. You know, agents have to play hardball at times, and I think that's what's come into play here. And I think they've played a little bit too hard on Goran Dragic's loyalty and nice guy image, that, you know, hey, he'll stick around, he'll give a hometown discount on the way back, and, you know, he'll take playing off the ball as long as we keep winning. And, you know, you can only change so many things in a guy. You know, I'm not sure that they would have pulled this with Eric Bledsoe and expected him to be fine with it.
Yeah. I'll let you go off a couple of things briefly, and that is the teams lining up to get him, and there's a lot that's published out there about the Lakers and in Boston and the relationship with Danny Ainge and all that stuff in Houston, of course. Do you, in your mind, have a view, a thought as to the most likely scenarios of where Dragic heads next?
Where you look around the league and not many teams need a point guard. And so the list becomes real clear from there, because that's what he wants. He just wants to be the playmaker on a team. And, you know, it's what guys grow up doing when they're point guards, what Isaiah Thomas and Eric Bledsoe grew up doing. So that's why it's been so uncomfortable for all three of them to be sharing the ball like they have. So I don't know necessarily that it has to be a contender. I've never heard that from them, because certainly a lot of these teams are unattractive as they are now. But with the cap going up so sharply in the next 2 years, I think probably any team could give them a pitch that we're going to spend money, especially deep pocket ones like Lakers or Knicks, that they would spend money to get back in it if they had them.
Last question, and this is on the court with Jeff Hornacek. This three-guard thing defensively to me has been a nightmare. You see Goran playing in a position where at times he is not out front. You see him trying to fight through. You see him, I think, wearing down defensively. It's taken away from his offensive capabilities. This whole, we can look back and write about Suns history. The three-guard rotation is definitely going to be written about, especially if, as I think, and it sounds like you think, Dragic isn't going to be here by tomorrow afternoon at 3. Let's talk about the three-guard rotation, how this thing's gotten screwed up.
Well, it kind of put Hornacek in a hard spot with the way the roster was constructed, because at some point he had no choice but to try to play all three of them together to, one, keep them all happy with their minutes and shots and touches, and two, to have the best players on the floor, because his best players were all in the backcourt.
Yep.
And, you know, initially before the season, if you look back, Hornacek didn't want to use it at all. He didn't, you know, he didn't really like the idea of it, and said, well, maybe if we're in a situation where we need to catch up, I might go to it. And then so he started going to it in those situations. And then eventually, just to get the rotation set so that Boron and Isaiah and Eric were all getting their 30 minutes that they're used to, that's what ended up happening. They ended up closing every half with it for 6-8 minutes, and it worked for a good amount of time. But then, you know, eventually teams start figuring that they could go at parts of it. Like you said, I think the part of this that is underplayed with Dragic's unhappiness is he didn't want to guard twos and threes in the league.
No, you know, what's he doing?
He's a skinny 6'2 point guard. He doesn't want to have to guard small forwards that are 6'7 and
running through screens. He's not on the ball enough. I mean, it just takes away on that. That's the part that's just like, what are you guys thinking? Okay, last question. And I promise this is the last one. How does this play out in your view?
I don't want to sound too much like he's going to be traded by tomorrow, because it's a hard thing. And, you know, they're still in a playoff chase. You know, they want to make the playoffs. It's time to end this drought at some point to keep the progression going. Trading Dragic certainly doesn't help make the playoffs if you're getting less in return. But this has put them in a bad spot. And, you know, from no matter what, the chemistry hasn't been right this season after being so ideal last season, and this isn't going to help it anymore.
Yeah. Stay well. Appreciate your time on short notice. Thanks.
No problem. Have a good one, Brett.
You got it. Paul Coro, a couple of minutes. The Suns. The Suns are just, you know, it's one thing if you're the Coyotes and you're in a bad building situation and you can't keep an owner to save your life. And I mean, because the Coyotes have a very competent front office and Don Maloney and a very competent coach and Dave Tippett. Okay. It's one thing if you're the Cardinals and you put Steve Keim in the place that he should have been in a few years ago, and he's finally there, and then you go out and you take care of business. And if you go through a down cycle, it happens. You know, you're the Diamondbacks. You can't seem to figure it out. You just keep bringing people in and bringing people in, and I like Tony La Russa being here, but, man, that thing's jacked up and is still a ways away, in my opinion, in a very tough division. It's not as dire, I don't think, as people are making it out to be. Maybe spring hopes eternal. And then there's the Suns just kind of sitting there like, this was the franchise in Phoenix. Let's be flat honest with each other here. This is the team that has been here, that didn't come from somewhere else, okay, that's been here the longest. And, man, they can't figure it out. And every year, not being in the playoffs for four straight years, that hasn't happened since the early 70s. And then they have a player who's as nice as the day is long say, you know what, get me out of here. I don't want to be here. And so you have to look at the front office. You know, I've not been a Lon Babbie guy at all in any way, shape, or form. We had one former agent here, Jeff Morad, who basically ran the Diamondbacks into the ground. I mean, just crushed him. And it's just the most maddening. This is a bad day. I mean, it's a good day on the Fitz front for you fans that are all into having a name player here, even if his production is slowing down a little bit. It's fine. It's like Luis Gonzalez, you know. I didn't like seeing Gonzo go over to the Dodgers at the end. I'm fine with Larry staying here. I'm fine with it. But I'm not going to jump up and down about it. This Dragic thing is big news. This is going to push this team further back. There, I feel much better now. Sports 360 AZ, it's a happy day. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Hey, if you don't have any passion about this stuff, if you're just like, oh, well, I don't know, this isn't good. Stay with us. I'm not going to even tell the Suns fans to calm down. It's fine. I'm seeing it on Twitter and email, and it's not pretty. Brad at sports360az.com. Back on the Cardinals end. So they're at the Combine. Eric is back there as well. Thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. Santan Ford sponsoring our Combine trip. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. 4 years in a row that we've been at the NFL Scouting Combine. Steve Keim spoke earlier today about the Cardinals getting a deal done with Larry Fitzgerald and the structure of the contract and all of that stuff. And for those of you, most of you don't care at all about numbers, but it is important to know the cap space that the Fitz contract creates. Okay. The narrative, when they hold the press conference, there's no need to win the room. They already have won the room that Fitz is there. When I say win the room, it's organizations, big deal. They'll stack it full of employees. They'll clap and all that stuff, and that's fine. But Michael will go out of his way to talk about how Larry gave, and he did. Fitz's new deal is worth $11 million per year for 2015-2016, according to Ian Rapoport, who's very, very good at this. It saves the Cardinals $13 million in cap room this year, $13 million. I am going to give you back some of my money so that you can go out and you can make things happen. Now, I trust this general manager with that money. I'm Larry Fitzgerald. I trust this general manager. I'm willing to give you money back because I know you're not going to go spend it on a lampshade and garbage as some organizations do. You know, this is a competent front office. There's no downside to this at all, in my opinion. They have a couple of wide receivers. They can keep talking all they want about Michael Floyd emerging. Michael Floyd's a first-round pick. It's beyond being emerging. How about being consistent? John Brown was great in year one, okay? Andre Ellington was terrific for them, too, and got beat up this year. When you are taken in the draft as an unknown, that means other organizations look at you and say, there's got to be something about him. And the Cardinals outsmarted everybody on John Brown's case. It's great. Can he continue to follow it up? What you don't want to have is a bunch of receivers that aren't being consistent, and you have Larry Fitzgerald coming to the end of his run. You have to have those players that don't have just the big game occasionally so that the transition is seamless and it's easy. Tough to do in the NFL. It's like at quarterback. So Steve Keim today in Indianapolis was asked about Carson Palmer and how Carson Palmer is coming along. And here's Steve Keim on the quarterbacks in the draft, and is Palmer going to be ready for OTAs?
We're always going to evaluate quarterbacks in the draft. That's a position that we've talked over and over about supply and demand. And when you get your starting quarterback injured, and then you go through your second quarterback, we've talked a lot about there's not 32 good ones, let alone to go to 64 to play with your backup, to play with your third string quarterback. So it was a unique situation this year. But we anticipate that not only is Carson ahead of schedule, we think there's a good chance that he could potentially be ready for OTAs either.
Okay, so being ready for OTAs, potentially, the key words here are always potentially. Potentially means it'd be really nice. But then usually what happens after this is we're not going to rush it, or there's been a little bit of a setback, or there's a little bit of this or a little bit of that. And here's the thing about it with Carson Palmer. I'm fine having Carson Palmer on this team. He played well last year, but facts are facts. He was injured twice, not once with the knee, but twice with the shoulder. We saw what happened in Denver early in the season, where it ended up being Logan Thomas out in the field trying to run for his life, and then Logan Thomas couldn't even get on the field in the postseason. So in my view, there is no question the Cardinals have to do more at quarterback and should look at this draft at quarterback. Eventually, you have to develop somebody. Nobody could have foreseen the day after they announced the extension for Carson Palmer, the weekend that it comes out, that he ends up tearing up his knee. He's in his mid-30s. So while it's nice, there's no guarantee he's going to be around here. When I hear Steve Keim earlier talk about how the Cardinals have to address the middle of their offensive line, that means centers and guards. We got to keep our quarterback upright. He's getting hit too much. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I mentioned that Eric Sorensen is back at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. General Manager Tim Hovick through the years has said, Brad, wherever you need to go, just let me know. We're with you. We see what you're doing. We see your vision. It's good for Valley Sports. It's good for our business. And it's been a terrific partnership. I appreciate Tim. I appreciate everybody at Santan Ford and their support. Great people there. It's the place for you to go buy that new car, that new truck, or even the certified pre-owned, or for your business. You may be in one of those businesses where you need to go buy a whole group of trucks for whatever it is that you're doing. My suggestion is stop on into Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. You can go online at santanford.com. You can go to our website, sports360az.com, on our homepage and just click on Santan Ford. But Tim and his staff, there's a different feel, there's a different vibe when you walk on the dealership. Maybe it's because I'm in the sports world, as are you. Big fans of sports. It may be that you're into that. So when you decide where you want to go with that new car, that new truck, or that certified pre-owned, you go into Santan Ford, stop in there, find for yourself that vehicle that makes the most sense. Tim and his group are very involved in all the sports franchises here in the Valley with the Cardinals and the NFL and Arizona State and with the Diamondbacks. It's terrific. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Back on the combine, so if the Cardinals draft a quarterback, I'm fine with that. Eventually, they've got to find the replacement for Carson Palmer. I don't believe that Drew Stanton is the long-term player. If Logan Thomas wasn't talented enough in the postseason to even take a snap, so you have to look at quarterback. The most important aspect of the combine, I always like this part of the combine because you guys are going to sit there glued this weekend saying, so-and-so ran a 4.3 or 4.4 or so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that. What you don't see, it's a job interview. And how many guys come across as, yeah, I'm all that, and there was not enough due diligence to sit down with the player and find out what they're all about? Here is Steve Keim on the most important aspect of the combine to him. This was this morning in Indy.
I say this all the time. We miss more so on the person than we miss on the player. Nowadays, in today's day and age, with these guys with the off-field issues, I can watch tape and I can see a player's foot speed, his movement skills, his athleticism. I can't read his heart and his mind. And those are the two things to me that we have a tendency to miss on, is whether a guy can learn it, whether he loves the game. And if you can't learn it, the coach isn't going to put you on the field because he doesn't feel comfortable and he doesn't trust you. And if you don't love it, it's going to catch up to you, with you at some point, regardless of how talented you are.
So more and more high school and college coaches need to just play that snip for their team, for their kids. The kids that think that they are all that, that are entitled, that have been the best athlete all along and have become lazy and developed bad habits. When you're at the combine and you can sit across from somebody, you get 15 minutes. Is 15 minutes enough time for the Cardinals to decide if they want to take that player? No, but it's a good starting point. If in 15 minutes you can tell that the guy doesn't have a motor, doesn't tick, isn't hungry, is like, yeah, I'm all that, doesn't portray himself in the right way, then you bring that kid in for visits. You put him on the board and say, okay, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? You have him actually talk football. But if you don't think that character matters, or that it's all about the 40 time. 40 time is eye candy, but that stuff's fake. You have to find out what's on the inside. Like anything in life, you have to find out what's on the inside of people, what makes them tick. Because anybody can give this positive outward look. One last thing on Keim. The future of Darnell Dockett was asked of him today, and I think this is important to hear. This is from Steve Keim. This was earlier.
Yeah, you know, we'd love to have Darnell back. You know, that's one of those things. I'm not going to get into specific players, you know, because we could go down the list. But, you know, Darnell's a guy that we really missed him this year because he was the heart and soul of our defense. I mean, he's obviously an energetic player. He's been a really good leader the past couple of years. But we'll have some conversations with Darnell moving forward.
All right, so given the door open a bit. On the other side, we're going to go back on Dragic. A couple other things on my mind. Tonight, there's a big basketball game here in town. And not because Bill Walton is here and not because there's fans behind the backboard, but because if ASU has any hope at all to try to strengthen their RPI, you know, let's get rid of all of the outside stuff and just talk about on the floor, because that's where the focus needs to be. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
So how does the next 24 hours play out for Goran Dragic? What are the Cardinals going to look at the combine? How does Brett Hundley perform and Anders Pete? Pete's going to be a first-round pick out of Corona del Sol High School at the combine from Stanford. Brett Hundley, of course, a quarterback. Everybody's talking about Mariota and Winston. I saw an interview this morning with Lovie Smith talking about his quarterbacks, and he said, we have Mike Glennon on our roster. I love that. Yeah, it's great. You have Mike Glennon on your roster. There's another first-round pick that's not going to make it because they're going to choose either one or the other. all of this is going to just unfold in the next 24 hours in a very fun way, I think, at the Combine. I like the Combine. I sat there in the last segment, talked about the whole behind the scenes. I do like the Combine. I think there's something about it. It's grown through the years. I don't sit there and just watch 40-yard dashes over and over and over this weekend, but I do like to see the athleticism at quarterback. I do like to see how players handle themselves and beat themselves up when they drop balls that they know they shouldn't drop. And you try to find the next John Brown and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's fun. This is a real dark day for the Phoenix Suns, in my opinion. In the next 24 hours, unless I'm beyond surprised that they're able to pull something out of their backside and try to salvage Goran Dragic, if they don't trade Dragic, it tells me that really, guys, you really believe you can re-sign him, because you don't just let him walk away and get nothing. You're better to get something at this point. But you have to look at the front office. You have to look at, I'm not looking at Jeff Hornacek on this. Jeff Hornacek is only doing what he's instructed to do. We have given you these players. You have to go coach these players. Same thing in your job that you're at right now. These are the tools you have to work with. And you have to go make it work. You know, and so in Jeff's case, he's tried to make it work. And now you have one of the more popular players around the Suns. I wrote this earlier in the week. When Dragic is traded by tomorrow afternoon, it's not really going to cause a blip here in town. The bigger story is going to be the ineptitude of the Suns continues. You know, Jared, you're the most optimistic Suns fan that I know. You,
am I?
You've been here. You've grown up here. You love watching the Suns. You like writing about them. You're very passionate about them. But even Mr. Sunshine like yourself can't sit here today and say, this is great what's going on with Goran Dragic. I'm not putting words in your mouth, or maybe you think I'm just blowing this up
No.
and making a bigger deal than it is.
You're not blowing it up or making a bigger deal than it is. It's a huge deal. It's another screw-up. It's another situation where a key piece of your franchise is disgruntled and wanting to leave and get out of town and not be a part of what's going on. The only players I look at this roster that I see as being good pieces going forward were Bledsoe, Len, and Dragic. And now Dragic doesn't want to even be here. So I'm one of those guys that liked the Isaiah Thomas signing at first because I thought he was going to be an upgrade to Ish Smith. But once I saw
Ish Smith, don't care about Ish Smith. Fans don't care.
Well, that's like, why I said That's why I said I liked the sign.
As soon as you're done with this show, you're going to the arena. Do you think Goran Dragic is going to be man enough to stand there and look at you and look at the microphones that are going to be crowded around him and say, I don't want to be here. I don't like the direction that it's going. It's tough. It's a business.
I don't think it's a matter of
do you think he'll talk?
Man enough, but I don't think he's going to talk. I think he's going to say,
I can't see him talking. He's going to melt.
No. I see it being more along the lines of, I'm handling this with my agent, and I'm not going to discuss this any further. If you want to talk about tonight's game, I'd be glad to talk about it.
I wish there were a game tonight.
Or the Minnesota
game.
Friday. Yeah, that I can't see him talking about it, no. And no, Ish Smith is not a big deal. The big deal was that they were going to get a player that was better than Ish Smith to try to be better. But when those minutes took away from Goran Dragic, that's when things started going down the tube. You know, I was explaining because I have other, you know, you say I'm a passionate person as it pertains to the Suns. I have plenty of friends that are as well that grew up here. I compared the whole situation with Dragic as every guy needs to have that girl where they just totally screw it up with. Where they have a chance with a girl that's out of their
league. Suns have dated a lot of girls.
Yeah, well, they have. And the thing that they've
screwed
done
up a lot.
The thing that they've done with Goran is they've had a shot, they called too much, they handled it poorly, and they parted ways. Rarely does that guy have a second shot with that same girl that's out of their league to make amends. And the fact that you screw it up twice, that just tells you everything you need to know about how Suns fans should feel about the situation and why this is such a huge step in the wrong direction. Oh.
You know, and then I had Jerry on yesterday talking about the footprint's not big enough, so that Sarver's got to find a different location here in the Valley to build an arena for the Suns to play in the next several years. And that's not a story of today, but it's just fans aren't going to understand that. They're just not. fans are busy living lives. They're not going to want to hear at some point the owner saying, I want to build the arena here. We're moving. They're just not. And so it all adds up. That's my point. The segment of the show brought to you by Mareel Slater Insurance. Mareel Slater Insurance. So you're considering your health care needs, your health care insurance, and you may be thinking you've got it all figured out. Well, Mareel Slater Insurance, Tom Mareel and John Slater, they can help you at msinsurancellc.com, msinsurancellc.com through Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Guys, insurance is something a lot of us just go do and then we forget about, or we can't afford to do, or we haven't been paying attention to it. When was the last time you had somebody just look at your insurance, your health care insurance, most importantly? Through Blue Cross and Blue Shield, Mareel Slater Insurance can help you out at msinsurancellc.com. John and Tom, good people, can help you out. That's John Slater, Tom Mareel, Mareel Slater Insurance at msinsurancellc.com. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Yeah, there's plenty of content up right now at sports360az.com. But as the day progresses, Dragic speaks, analysis from the combine on fits, what Steve Keim had to say. Plenty of content will be rolling in, opinion, things on the high school, college, pro level. Tonight, Arizona State and UCLA, James Harden's number is being retired. Jordan Hamm will be at that. So there's some cool things going on in the Valley today and tonight. I'm Brad Sussmatt.